Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to Love Yourself Fiercely. On today's episode, we have the wonderful Victoria Shaw. She is a spiritual queen and is all for awakening the intuition. Not only is she a coach in the spiritual space, but she has her own podcast called Intuitive Connection. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited too. I love what you do. It's super in line with my own journey and the communities. So with that being said, why don't you tell us a little bit about your self-discovery journey and what that looked like, and when you really recognized or felt pulled to learn self-trust, self-love, and really awaken the intuition?
I love that question. So for me, I mean, who knows where the journey started, probably at birth, but maybe even before. But for me, I was always passionate about these big spiritual questions, although I didn't recognize them at the time as being spiritual because I didn't really have a very spiritual worldview or background. But I was always interested in these big questions, like what's the relationship between the mind and the body, and what is consciousness, and what makes us tick? And what's the meaning of life even? And what happened was, because of some of those interests, I was a double major in philosophy and psychology, and I went on to get my PhD in psychology, really fascinated by the mind, the brain, memory, consciousness. And I really had this idea that grad school was going to be all of us sitting around at lunch, you know, discussing the meaning of life. But it wasn't. It was a lot of people working in their labs, doing their own little individual stuff. Some of us could discuss our research with others, and some of us, it was so specific that we couldn't even have a conversation because we wouldn't even have known what each other were talking about, right? And this is all in one department, and this is just psychology. We're not even talking about, like, you know, my husband-to-be who was over in the physics lab. And so I got to the end of that journey, you know, wrote my dissertation, graduated with, you know, letters after my name. But what I realized was the passion was gone. I didn't love it anymore. And it's not that I have anything against research, because I absolutely don't. I think it has its place. But for me, what had happened was, you know, there was just no way to answer those big questions in that sort of research-based paradigm. And I don't think I realized what was happening or what was missing, but I just knew for me that the passion was gone. And I was at such a high level. And I was, you know, it's an academic psychologist, particularly like at the level that I was at, like, you know, I was Ivy League school, Ivy League postdoc, you know, it's like being an NBA player. You got to give your life to that. And I was like, I don't want to give my life to this. I don't love it anymore. And so I took some time off to start a family. I just got married and to look for some other things to do. I wrote some books and did some other things. But I just kept hearing this voice in my head, like, there's something you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing. You know, there's just something. And I tried different things and I explored different things, but like nothing was sticking. And at the same time, from being a mom, you know, my kids were struggling. And, you know, one of them had some emotional stuff going on. One of them had learning disabilities. And so we kept going to all of these increasingly out of the box helpers, right? So energy healers and osteopaths and acupuncturists and astrologers and applied kinesiologists and all these people that were doing this stuff that was like increasingly out there. And it was working. Mm-hmm. It was working. It was helping. And the message I kept getting from all of these healers and helpers, particularly the ones more on the intuitive spectrum, were, you're really intuitive. What are you going to do with this? And, you know, like any kind of change, it took a while for me to, you know, finally get the memo, but finally I did. And I realized, oh, wait, maybe this is my thing. And as soon as I made that commitment to awaken my intuition, everything changed. It changed rapidly. And then it's just continued. I think intuition is the gift that just keeps on giving. Because when I look at intuition as your spiritual knowing, mm-hmm. your spiritual GPS, right? It's that part of yourself that when you come into human form and you forget your divine origins, it's the part of yourself that remembers and is connected and is guiding you at every step of the way. And just most of us have been taught to do anything but listen to that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, really, when I started to listen and I, you know, it changed. And now I listen to my intuition on everything and every decision I make, you know, maybe occasionally, you know, what I have for breakfast. I don't totally tune in like this morning, but really, like, more and more, I let my life be guided by that higher wisdom, and it'll just keep showing you where you need to go. So that's where I am today.
I love your story, because you come from such a heavily research background.
Yep.
And intuition is like the polar opposite of a textbook. It's like, you need to just trust your being, right? Yes. There cannot be evidence in order to trust. A lot of the time there's lack of evidence and we have to listen anyways. That's been my experience.
Yeah. Lack of immediate evidence.
Immediate evidence. Absolutely. It's like you get the pull.
Yeah.
But we're so heavily conditioned to look for the evidence first.
Yeah. Well, we're not even looking for the evidence though, right? We're trying to anticipate what we think might happen or why we think we should do something based on everything that we know from the past, which is limited and often fear-based. Mm-hmm. And intuition does require you to step into that space of temporarily not knowing, because again, your higher self is way smarter than your small little mind. But there's evidence all around, because mm-hmm. I find more and more when I follow my intuition, I get that feedback from life that that was the right way to go. And it happens again and again and again and again and again.
And I love how you just worded that. You get the evidence from life around you as you trust. And I think, you know, so many of us in business particularly lean heavily on our intuition, as we, especially in the service-based places, as we learn to trust our intuition, that's what happens. You take a step towards what feels right for you. And based on trusting that, you know, gut response, or many of us have different, but I am followed by my sacral. So it literally is a gut response for me. Right. Is that right? Or is that wrong?
Yes.
And I always say that your intuition tells you both. Is that right? Or is that wrong? It's that, like, something doesn't feel right for me. Where I think people in their human experience will listen to that one. Right. It's like, something feels off here. That doesn't feel like a safe environment, but we also have to learn to trust the pull too.
Yes.
And then that's where the world will show you the evidence, right? So you take a step towards that. That is the next best step. I just know from my intuition. And then that's when things happen at like quantum speeds, like crazy, you know, and I that's been true in my own evolution. That's been true in my business and continues to be, because like you said, the more you listen, the more you trust, the more you trust, the more you take, you know, you take those steps. You don't just ponder them with the mind, which is what our society, the current paradigm, is really hyper-focused on. I would love to hear, because this whole unfolding for you started with your children, I would love to hear how you're raising them intuition, based on intuition, versus like, are you teaching them to follow that versus, you know, being heavily research-based or
that's a good question. My kids are grown now, so I'm not really raising them anymore. But they definitely grew up with some understanding of this, and I have one that's more open to it than others, but you know, you lead by example and then, you know, you let them figure it out. I do work with a lot of parents and families. So, and I have the honor of working with many children as well, mm-hmm. which I love, 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 love to do. And one thing that I'm finding now, which I love, versus when my kids were little, is people are so much more open to this. And I have so many more clients walking into my practice, even than I did when I started 11 years ago, who are, you know, talking intuition with their child and talking mm-hmm. gut feelings and vibes and, you know, making it a thing. And they'll bring their kids into my office for a reading, which is crazy sauce when you think mm-hmm. about it, right? But they're really open to, hey, you know, Victoria, I had this problem at school with these girls. Like, can you feel into this for me and tell me like what, you know, help me figure out what's going on, you know, and I'll give them a read and we'll mm-hmm. work on it together. So I mean, that's really fun and that's really new. And I think, you know, the way to foster intuition in your children is simply to, number one, acknowledge that it's a thing. Number two, model it for them. So mm-hmm. show them how you're listening to your vibes. And then number three, listen to them, because we don't want to impose. You know, intuition is a deeply personal experience and it's going to be different for everyone. And so you want to listen, you want to reflect back, you want to kind of, you know, feel into what they're experiencing, but you don't want to impose. You don't want to tell them how it should look, what it is. You never want to tell a child like that's absolutely your intuition. Like you want to, you know, you want to create the space for them to make their own beautiful and unique connection.
I love that. So I have a child who has anxiety and ADD. And so when she, you know, the school system can really heighten her anxiety. And I have a lot of spiritual practice. My husband has a lot of spiritual practice. And I find when her anxiety is high and we have that conversation with her around, you know, listen inwards,
right?
Allow yourself to hear, lean on trust, self-trust and trust of the universe. And, it's been super helpful. We've been raising her that way, when things are hard for her and when things are good. You know, we're teaching manifestation and the power of our own words, because she struggles so heavily with anxiety, a lot of her thought patterns are negative, right? Worst case scenario. And so now it's just a lovely way, you know, having, when I reflect on my childhood and the way that I spoke to myself and the way that, you know, I allowed other people to guide what they thought was best for me and the unbecoming of that as I followed my own path, I think it's so powerful to give that to children, right? Yeah. So that they learn to trust themselves before the world manipulates that out of them. And never I don't think the world manipulates it out of them in a negative way, just a conformity way, right? You'll have parts of it where people are manipulative to get what they want. But I think the systems are really about conforming. And if we can empower the next generation to really listen inwards and trust themselves, I think we'll have a much different next generation. Personally, that's absolutely what I believe.
And I think a lot of our systems right now are they're mind-based, they're ego-based, and a lot of them are fear-based. Mm-hmm. And that permeates a lot of those structures, the government, our schools. Not that there's not pockets of brilliance everywhere, because we are mm-hmm. all souls in human form and love and light exists everywhere. But I do think that, you know, there's these pockets of consciousness, but they're not evenly distributed. Right. And so school can be a hard place for a lot of kids and a lot of kids too. And some of, I think the people listening are going to recognize this in themselves. If you're a very sensitive soul, if you're a very open soul, right? Meaning like you feel, you know, or an empath is another word that people use, right? Where you feel into what other people are feeling, but just that sensitivity can make school really hard. And it can often cause anxiety in kids where their intuition is actually up too high and it's tuned into the wrong channels. And so sometimes they need to just learn, you know, how to ground, how to kind of have some energetic boundaries. And, you know, what I often teach kids is just because you can feel it does not mean it's your job to heal it, mm-hmm. right? It's not, it's just, you know, you don't have to take all that on.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And I would say too, about that voice of anxiety in the head, because it's a hard message. You know, sometimes people think with the law of attraction, like if I think about a bad thought, that bad thing will happen. And it's not really that simple. And look, I'm not a fan of perseverating on everything that can go wrong, because it doesn't make you feel good. And it definitely does not raise your vibration. And it does not make for a joyful, flowing life. But I'd also say the mind's going to do what the mind's going to do. And that your mind is often gets into that habit for self-protection. For your daughter, I think too, again, it's sometimes what happens is we just feel what's going on around us. And then the mind just tries to explain it by coming up with, you know, like it must be this, it must be that, and perseverating about something that we think is the problem, but it's more the activation of our nervous system. So I think that's probably part of what's going on with her. And that's what happens with a lot of anxious kids. But anyway, the thoughts themselves don't create the reality. And, you know, but so it's important to you to have kindness towards our human experience. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't have to feed those thoughts. We don't have to give them power, but we also have to understand that they are trying to protect us. They're not necessarily doing it in the most efficacious way. But if we can have a loving stance to all parts of our humanity, that really actually helps us, you know, get to a place where we really want to be.
I love that so much. So, I mean, given that you have all the knowledge on the spiritual side and then on the psychology side. So if we're talking about nervous system regulation, for people who struggle with anxiety, right? What are some strategies that you would give a listener who gets stuck in those anxious cycles?
First of all, be kind to yourself. That's the most important thing. And don't necessarily believe your thoughts, right? Because what often happens, and I see this with kids too, and I mean, with everyone I work with, right? We believe the voice in our head. We believe it's telling us the truth. And 9 out of 10 times it is not. And if that voice in your head is fearful, if it's, you know, repetitive, if it's makes you feel down, the first thing to do is know the mind's going to do what the mind's going to do, but you don't have to believe that, right? And you can kind of just learn to let it talk. Sometimes too, it helps if, you know, an anxiety comes in many different forms. So for me, when I experience anxiety, it's more bodily based. I mean, sometimes I'll just feel, you know, what they would call free floating anxiety. And then I often will ask myself, you know, first of all, is this coming from someone else? Because every once in a while, I'm tuning into someone else's stuff. And just asking that question usually is enough for me to disengage. Or I kind of just tune in, I get really present, and I kind of, you know, see, ask to be shown. And sometimes I'm shown and sometimes I'm shown later, you know, where's the disturbance in my system right now that's causing this? And usually it's something. Usually I'm worried about something that I'm not thinking about, you know, that's not conscious, or maybe it's, I don't know what else it could be. It's usually that. So I will tune into that and ask to be shown. And then when I'm shown, I don't beat myself up about it. I just say, okay, that would make sense. Right. And oftentimes that's enough to release. And, you know, again, with the repetitive thoughts, people often ask me when they're working on developing their intuition, how do I tell the difference between, you know, anxiety, those anxious thoughts, and my intuition? And in my experience, the voice of your intuition is always calm. It's always quiet. It's always still. And it doesn't have an emotional charge, because on the other side where the intuition comes from, there's no emotions. There's no feelings or fears the way we experience them in human form. And there's just a lot of bliss. And so even at times when I've received information that my mind might not like and might think is potentially bad news, and that doesn't even happen a lot, but the times that it has, it's always delivered in a clear, calm, and direct manner. There's no emotional charge. And so occasionally people will have a repetitive thought with some emotional charge that is their intuition. It can happen, because what will happen is you'll get the memo intuitively and in, you know, your subconscious, and then your body will react to it and you will come into fear. But it's very, 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 very rare. Mm-hmm. And usually it's very calm, very clear. And I would say even in those cases, and like I said, it's one in a million. Even in those cases, you want to hear yourself, but you also want to turn off the fear. Because if you're getting that message, it's because there's something, you know, it's warning you, it's preparing you, it's letting you know there's something that you can do. And that fear-based response isn't helping you. So it's when you can turn down the volume on the fear, or let that go, or even let the thought go for a while. And just ask to be shown, okay, what am I being called to do here? Then your intuition will kick back in the way that it's meant to, and it'll guide you right where you need to go.
I love that. And with that being said, for someone who's new to understanding their intuition, tapping into their intuition, how would you guide a client to start to understand how they can do that?
Yeah. And I teach this all the time. So the first, I mean, like lots and lots and lots of times, and I have a whole podcast about it, but the first step to awakening your intuition is always just to recognize it's a thing. Just recognize that we all have this knowing within us, and it presents itself differently to everyone, but it's this kind of knowing where you know something is right, but not in here. right? And everyone, I have yet to meet a person on this planet who is not at least one time in their life, and usually multiple times, usually a lot of times, had an experience where they knew something, they didn't know how they knew it, and it was 100% right, right? And, you know, when you have enough of these and you can't explain them, then you start to believe that there's something more than your mind. And so the first step is just recognizing it's there, because there's not a person on this planet who's not intuitive. And when you start to recognize that it's a thing, and you start to see where it's happening, and it's happening all the time. And you also begin to connect with that great power of intention, right? When we set the intention to do something, especially something as aligned as awakening your intuition, the world will start giving you the opportunities and experiences you need to move forward on that path. So as soon as you set that intention, hey, this intuition thing that Victoria is talking about on this podcast here sounds amazing. I want to do that too. You've already taken the first and the most important step. And then it's just about, and then it's just about becoming aware. And then the other big thing around intuition is that you got to learn to still the mind, because intuition works between the thoughts. It is, does not come from your mind, and your mind is noise when it comes to your intuition. Now, for me, my intuition will use my thoughts, use my words. I will get into a still space. And sometimes my intuition will say, hey, remember that thing you learned in grad school or, you know, counseling school? Cause I went back for even more schooling after that. I have multiple degrees, but it'll knock on the file drawer and say, hey, remember that thing, you know, it's relevant now. Okay. So my intuition uses my mind, but what I don't do so much anymore is like go digging through that file drawer, trying to get the answer, when my intuition will just tell me where to look.
Right. Right. I love that. I could talk to you all day long.
Aww.
I'm like, intuition's my jam. I love it so much. It's really, truly transformed my life.
Yeah.
And you know, when I look back on my life, I have always followed my intuition. Even as a child, my mom would say, you would say things that, you know, a 6 or 7 year old, typically wouldn't have the vocabulary for. And all I can look back, and every pivotal decision I've ever made was one that I listened to my intuition. And so as I navigated my own adult life, it's really become a way of life for me.
Yeah.
And so I desire that every woman, every person, every child has that connection as well, which is why I was so excited to have you on the show, and why I'm excited for you to tell them about your show. Because when we understand our power within our own decision-making abilities in connection with intuition, it heals a lot of our destructive self-sabotage patterns. It heals our external validation needs, because we start to really, really anchor into, hey, I've really always known what was right for me. Only now we get to cultivate that relationship with our intuition, so we trust it.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that. I love everything you just said. It's so, so true. And I really have always believed anyone who does anything well, you know, my advisor in grad school at Princeton totally leaned into his intuition all the time. He, you know, healers, helpers, business people, like anyone who's doing what they're doing really, really well, athletes, they're becoming present and they're hearing their inner guidance. That's how it works. And everything else is noise. And again, we have a mind. I love having a mind. I worked really hard to develop my mind. I use it all the time, but now I've learned to use it in service of my inner wisdom. And it's a total, total game changer.
I love that you said that you use it like you could, intuition first. And then I use the mind, because we, you know, our brains are great. Our minds are great.
Yeah.
They really help us navigate. I always call it helps me navigate the masculine energy in me, right? Really just following that pull of action. And, but the decision-making, the anchoring comes from the intuition first.
Yes. Yes. In my mind, it does.
Yeah. So let's talk about your show. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, and you know, when your episodes air, where people can find them.
Absolutely. So my podcast is called Intuitive Connection. It's on all the major platforms. It's also on my website, which is victoriashawintuitive.com. We drop once a week on Tuesdays, and it's a blast. It's been so much fun. I started the podcast was totally intuitively guided. I know every single human being started a podcast in 2020, but for me, I had the seed of the idea in the fall of 2019 when I was getting ready to write a book. And I took a weekend off with this very same computer I have here. And I was going to start writing and like nothing was happening. And I was at the beach. So I kept walking with my tape recorder and this amazing information would come through. And I was like, I've written books before. I usually just type. What's going on? So I thought maybe I was supposed to dictate. So I tried to like write and then, you know, dictate and then write it down. Nothing. Crickets, radio silence, major block. And finally, because sometimes, you know, we don't hear intuition right away. We need a couple. If you really have an idea about yourself or about how life is supposed to work, sometimes it takes a couple whacks on the head for you to go, oh, wait, okay, I see. So I did. And I realized, oh, I'm supposed to like be speaking right now. So the podcast was born and it's so much fun. I get to connect with so many amazing people. We have all sorts of guests that are doing all sorts of different kinds of, you know, things related to intuition, spirituality. I have a bunch of really cool guests coming up, including someone who's a neuropsychologist who talks about right and left brain and where intuition and our false sense of self are in the brain. Mark Gober, who's a two-time best-selling author who talks about the mind-body connection and all the amazing research. And he talks really about how, you know, this whole idea of brain matter first needs to be turned on its head. So it's been a lot of fun. I also do solo casts, which are totally intuitively guided. You know, I sit down and let the guides, I think of my intuition often coming from higher guidance. So I let the guides do the shows. I get an idea and I will just talk for 20 minutes and see what comes through. So again, it's really fun. And then I also do readings on the show. So you get a sense of what it's like to get an intuitive reading, but also because we learn so much from each other's stories. And so I know that, you know, when I do these readings on the show, other people really resonate with, you know, the people's stories. So that's the show in a nutshell.
I love it. And you do intuitive readings also, like if someone was like, I need Victoria to do this for me.
Yeah, that is actually how I get paid. Yeah.
Right. I do. For those listening, this is really just a really fun thing for us to do as podcast hosts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I mean, you know, you get clients from the show for sure, but it's not, we don't get rich making podcast. I don't get rich making my podcast.
I don't get rich.
But it's so much fun and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But yes, I do. I do intuitive counseling, intuitive readings. I do a lot of teaching. I have some self-paced courses on my website. I have a Facebook group that's also a free service where I do a lot of teaching and I invite all the guests from the podcast to come on for Q&As. But yes, my readings are how I make my money and my intuitive counseling and that is also my greatest joy. I love to serve and support people, help them navigate their lives from that higher perspective, and also help them learn to tap into their own inner wisdom even more so that, you know, at the end of the day, they don't need me at all.
Perfect. And I'll make sure that all of those places that they can find you will be linked in the show notes. If you had one last piece of advice for our listeners, what would you say?
Let's see what wants to come through. You know, you are remarkable. You may or may not realize it right now, but you are at your core, a unique expression of the divine, of all that is, of like the highest, greatest, most amazing, amazingness that you can imagine. That is really who you are and who you are meant to be here on earth. And intuition is just one piece of this amazingness to help guide you to expressing your own authentic self and just living your best and most amazing life. So tap into your intuition, listen to podcasts like this, and most importantly, be yourself, do you, because that is the greatest gift that you can give to yourself and to the world.
So beautiful. Victoria, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so grateful to have you on the show, and I cannot wait to hear the listener's greatest takeaway because this was fabulous.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And to our listeners, I hope you love yourself fiercely and fully today and every day. We'll see you on the next episode.